introduction.
Okay.
Love Talk Radio.
And welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank of katelovingshank.com, prayerprescriptions.com, and the author of the upcoming book, Prayer Prescriptions, Spiritual Remedies for Long-Lasting Health. My guest this evening is Samantha West, who is a healer and uses dreams in her healing endeavors, which I think is unusual. Well, let's say waking dreams. But I bet she uses her sleeping dreams as well. Sleeping dreams? Anyway, joining me now is Samantha West. Hello, Samantha.
Hello, Kate.
Let me just say, too, that the call-in number is 347-205-9200. So our mutual friend, Joanne Glass, who was on the show a few years ago, and everybody just loved it, our friend Joanne, our mutual friend, really just raved and raved. And you would send her your waking dreams about, you know, your healing experiences, as not just because of at the end of her life. I think you must have done this for a long time with her.
A number of years.
I bet. And then you didn't get, how old is Gandalf? So you've had Gandalf, your dog, beautiful golden retriever dog, who has assisted you.
He'll be five in...
He's been assisting you for 5 years.
Yes, he's been with me for 5 years. And part of the whole thing, because it started with Joanne had a patient, and she asked me to tune in with absentee healing and see what I would pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
quite honestly, I was as surprised as she was that I started to pick up pictures of the mm-hmm. person that was on her table. And a lot of times the pictures didn't seem to make any sense, but
mm-hmm.
as she discussed them with the patient afterwards, they did make sense.
Oh,
so,
the patient understood what...
Exactly. And so
yeah.
we were collaborating on another level of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And later, when Joanne became ill, I concentrated on her on a daily basis, and
mm-hmm.
most of the time, pictures.
Now, when you say pictures, I mean, I can imagine what that means. So what does that mean? Can you give us an example?
I can. At one point, I saw Joanne in a lemnisket. And the lemnisket was lit on all the way around. And I was seeing many different lifetimes and the lifetime she was in at that moment within
mm-hmm.
the sections of the lemnisket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
well,
another...
just synchronistically, I was going to say that part of the discussion we had on the radio show that night when she was on was about the eternal lemniscate.
Well, that's interesting.
It really is.
I haven't been able to listen to that radio show yet.
Well, I'll send you the link sometime soon.
Okay. Oh, no,
so,
I still have it on my computer. I just haven't opened it.
Oh, okay. Well, we certainly miss our dear friend Joanne, and I sometimes suddenly feel her presence. And she is I think she's right here right now because she certainly is was your very close mentor and friend. And
yes, she was. Yes,
and
she
you
was.
Were her mentor as well. That's the thing that you have to realize, that it wasn't just a one-way street there.
Well, we were
and,
great.
That's right.
And I treasured her, and I know she treasured me, and that was a great gift.
I know.
It was part of the reason, because of the trust that I had in her, that I could go into that type of a deep meditation and pick up things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an advantage because when she was working with the patient, I was working with the patient too. In one instance, we went to a temple in South America and went into inside the temple, the three of us, went inside the temple, and the patient climbed on a table, and Joanne was at her head, and I was at her feet, and four great Kachinas came and worked on her. And the patient could feel it. She could feel the difference in what was happening.
How did she say she felt it, the patient?
Well, she could feel the change in the energy.
Which
is, speaking of the dogs again, she had a number of dogs, which would always come when Joanne was working on her. And Gandalf would always be in the room with me when I was working on the patient. And when I worked on Joanne, Gandalf, I remember the first time that I worked on Joanne herself, and I imagined her on the bed, and I had my hands on her neck, and Gandalf was laying on the bed. He got up, came over, and put his paws on top of my hands.
Oh, that's so precious.
It was a very unique experience. He's always there when I was working. Like I think that animals really understand and appreciate the energy of healing, the energy of prayer, the energy of meditation. Because that feels good to them.
Yes.
Just like it does to us.
Yeah, I believe it's their natural state.
I agree.
We used to call Ulysses the Zen master, but what I couldn't understand was why he was so adverse to other dogs. He really did not like them, and I couldn't understand why he couldn't just drop that.
He didn't want to. He simply didn't want to. He was king of the hill, and that suited him just fine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think we should get a picture of you and Gandalf and having Gandalf's mammoth paws on your hands. Oh, how
you know,
sweet.
It's an interesting thing about dreams. I was thinking about it this afternoon, and I remember clearly the first dream that I ever had, and I was between 6 and 7 years old.
Oh, your first
dream? And the reason
dream?
I remember the dream so clearly is that I dreamed it over and over again.
Oh, so what is it, something you can share with us?
I can. I saw children who looked exactly like me, and they were sitting by a campfire, and they were talking. And I was sitting in a tree listening to them. And they kept on talking, and I eventually got bored and climbed out of the tree. And it was night, and I walked over to a pond. And in the moonlight, I looked into the pond, and it was my face again.
Uh-huh,
so there were three of us.
Oh, my gosh. And you dreamt that over and over again.
Yes. For almost a year. And then when I was in Germany, I would have been maybe 7, 8 years old at that time, and I dreamt of bombs falling in the pool at the house. And also, there was a car that picked up Jewish people, and it had a sound to it, a kind of a ringing sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I dreamt that over and over again. And I think in that case, it wasn't my dream. It was something that was embedded in that area.
I think you're right.
Because I remember a program on Jewish people and the Holocaust, and I heard that truck, and I couldn't have heard it as a child,
any more than
I heard bombs. Mm-hmm. You know, it was 1947. There were no more bombs then.
Yeah, I think what happens so often is that the memory is so heavy in certain places,
and it saturates it.
When people talk about going to the diary of the house where Anne Frank had spent her years hiding out, and they just can't shake that feeling of being in that place. And maybe having dreams is a way of healing those situations.
Mm-hmm. Or at least diffusing it.
Mm-hmm.
At least diffusing it in some way. Every dreamer has their own unique dictionary.
Because we're all each
unique, that when we dream, it's our own language. My favorite dream quote is, "The waking have one world in common. Sleepers have a private world of their own."
Oh, that's great.
It is, because it's so true. I
just love that. Everybody has their own dream dictionary, and there is no such thing as... Maybe there is such a thing, though, as a symbol that is universal. What do you think?
Oh, I do think, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There, you know, and Jung talked about the unconscious, the collective unconscious, and all the experiences and memories that human beings have in common, and that's where he came up with the archetype type.
Yeah.
Even he said that it was crucial to decide if a dream related to our personal experience or if it was an archetype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great point because, again, it goes back to that our own little world.
Yes, it does.
You know, what a bear means to me might necessarily mean what it means to somebody else. It can be frightening to somebody else where it's a wonderful thing to me.
Yes, and for instance, a butterfly is often seen as a symbol of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
But people experience it in different ways and in different situations.
Mm-hmm.
And in their experience of a universal symbol is where it becomes unique.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, when you think about dreams, Muhammad, almost all of the Quran came to him in a dream.
Ah, yes.
The Bible says all their dreams are, you know, special.
Yeah, I mean, the theory of relativity came to Einstein in a dream. Well, he was a real dreamer, you know.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Being a Pisces, he was a Pisces. They say that Pisces are real dreamers.
I know that, but he's one of my favorites.
Mhm. Yeah. Getting back to our dog Ulysses was a Pisces, and as a puppy, he didn't have that normal crazy spunky puppy thing that.
Mhm.
That puppies usually have. He would just sit in the yard and look dreamily at the clouds. And I have because he was a real Pisces. He just really was.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hysterical. But being a dreamer is often seen as a detriment in the eyes of, you know, I don't know, the eyes of science or something, but it really is a beautiful thing to be a dreamer.
It is. It is. And you know, it's like any artistic, creative endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
As an artist, if I couldn't dream, I couldn't create. As a healer, if I can't expand into that space to be a conduit for energy to come through and flow through me, mm-hmm. then, you know, and you have to be able to dream. You have to be able to believe and stretch beyond your boundaries, beyond what you conceive of as your boundaries. Let's put it that way. Now, I think we all have stuck spots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's always good when you get to a stuck spot to pray and meditate and paint and
mm-hmm.
walk.
Dance.
Sleep.
Thing.
Whatever.
Yes, sleep. Yes.
Yeah.
I think that getting down to remembering dreams.
Yes,
it's difficult. It's always been difficult for me to remember dreams. But once recently, we go to market to see some of our friends. It was, I think, a Tuesday morning, and suddenly somebody was talking about hunting wild turkeys, and I remembered a dream I had the night before, where our whole yard was filled with little and big and little babies of wild turkeys, and they were everywhere, and it was just, I don't know if I would have remembered that dream at all if it wasn't for a somewhat of a reminder, something somebody said. And
mm-hmm.
I really would like to remember my dreams more. Now, the whole, there again, the universal symbol of a wild turkey is, I don't know, you've heard of Ted Andrews. I love his book, The Animal.
Yes.
Animal Magic, or yeah. And so I looked it up, and it just seemed like there's something about to happen in my life that's going to change, and I think that's exactly true.
Yes.
Lots of different changes
think it
are taking place. Yeah.
Lots of changes.
Huge.
Huge.
But I'm going with
the whole
boat.
Yard filled with turkeys.
Yeah. I mean,
just...
I couldn't even see any spaces between them. It wasn't just a few of them. It was like huge quantities of wild turkeys. It's
wow.
Historical. Yeah.
I like that. Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's a great insight. It is.
Uh-huh.
And you have
and
a big yard.
Yes. I wonder what the dogs would have thought of those wild turkeys.
Well, you never can tell.
Well, I think that tomorrow my virtual book tour takes me to D.D. Delaney's blog.
Oh, really? Your brother?
Yes. And I was thinking about he's a real animal lover, and so is his beautiful wife, Jala, and how animals can really enrich your dream life.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, speaking of waking dreams, they enrich your waking dream life. Because,
absolutely.
This is an example, the deer that we have around here, so often when they appear, it feels like you're in a dream.
Mm-hmm. I think deer have that quality.
Yeah.
Because they're almost like mist and smoke. I mean, they're so big and so light.
Mist and smoke, because they, all of a sudden you see them in whatever capacity, and it feels like all of a sudden you're propelled into a different dimension.
Absolutely, I agree. I see them up at Bear Cottage, and they come at night with the mist, and they're just, they're there, and then
mm-hmm.
they aren't there, and then
yeah.
they're there. And I love it. It's a wonderful experience.
Hey,
I think animals
wonder.
Have
yeah.
that gift of transporting us into that different space, that
yeah.
unique spot.
Mm-hmm.
And if we listen, as you and I are real animal people, if we listen, they can teach us so much.
Mm-hmm.
They can,
mm-hmm.
you know, they just have a quality that humans just don't have. I was thinking of the dog the other day when he was smelling the flowers and just, you know, he was just sucking up the smell of all these different flowers. And I remember watching a program and a man saying that a bloodhound could pick a baby's tear out of a football field.
Oh, that is a beautiful thing.
Now, God, you know, we are so limited when you think of that.
I know. I mean, that's why it's so wonderful to surround yourself with animals. Oh, my gosh.
It is.
It's just wonderful. Just to see
and
the world through their eyes.
Yes, it's particularly nice if they like you.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
nice
if they want
too.
To be there.
Yes.
And they want to be with you.
Yes. I mean, I just wish that there wasn't the suffering in the world that there is with animals, and to think of little Pearl out there in the wild just becoming skin and bones. Well, she is very wild outside. She and I have actually been able to hear the little voles, they call them, like little moles and under
mm-hmm.
the ground. It's almost like a sonic wave. And that's what she likes to do. She likes to go out and she knows where they are. And I think she lived on them when she was out in the wild.
I'm sure
and,
she did.
But to hear a sonic wave like that reminds me of a dream.
Mm-hmm.
A waking dream. It's like, oh my goodness, there's a little bowl. And she and I hear it at the same time, and she digs around and jumps straight up in the air.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you were saying, Kate, that it's hard for you to remember dreams. I was reading something some time ago about there's different stages of dreaming. There's four stages of dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And the third stage is the deepest one, and that's the hardest to pull the dream from.
Yes.
And that's probably where your dreaming is, in that third stage
mm-hmm.
of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
We cycle through those, you know, on a nightly basis. But what I have found with my own dreams is that I must write it down the second I wake up or it's gone. It's like smoke.
I know.
And that's really hard.
Smoke. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just have to do it right away or else it's gone, unless you're lucky like I am and you dream it over and over again.
Oh, I had a friend who used to drink a cup of tea before he went to bed. So
uh-huh.
because he was really into remembering his dreams. And then somewhere along the way at 2, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning, he'd have to get up and, you know, go to the bathroom, and then in that process he would remember a dream and he'd be able to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not
yes.
a bad idea.
Works unless you have to go very quickly.
Yes, yes. I mean, it becomes a way of, I mean, he was very dedicated to remembering his dreams, and he was a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he that was his way of remembering. And another good way, you have to have a light, maybe a pen light or a flashlight,
mm-hmm.
and a notebook right there to remember.
Yeah.
It makes me want to do it. It really does.
Well, you know, it's such an enormous link to the unconscious.
Yes.
It really is. I use my unconscious as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I always, if I have a problem, I think about it before I go to bed. And I
mm-hmm.
almost always have a solution when I wake up.
Right.
As an artist, when I'm working on a project, I often do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that
and
works
then
well.
It does. It works well for me, and
mm-hmm.
I think it depends on intent. Again, like everything else, if you want to, then you know, you have a better chance of doing it.
Yes. That's right.
But there are so many different kinds of dreams and ways that you can dream and experience the dreaming state, and they're
mm-hmm.
you know they're an opportunity to hear what you're saying.
Right. And using dreams in your healing life is very interesting, I think. You could write a book about that, and people would love it.
No, I don't think I'm a writer. Well, I don't think I'm a writer yet, but perhaps.
Don't limit yourself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was doing some research this afternoon on dreams, and I saw this thing by that James Watt invented the steam engine, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He dreamed of molten metal falling from the sky and shaping into balls, which gave him the idea to drop cooling and hence have ball bearings.
Oh,
so, I mean,
my
that's,
gosh.
That's pretty good dreaming as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. The inventions come out of dreams.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and awareness comes out of dreams. I remember
yes.
a dream that I had many years ago where I was in a boat, a narrow little boat, and I was going down. I was kind of poling the boat, you know, because
mm-hmm.
the water wasn't very deep. But on either side of me was a whole series of rooms. And
mm-hmm.
as I went past, I could see that the rooms lighted up and that they were full of things.
Mm-hmm.
Different, you know, different furniture, different time periods, different, you know, it was all different. And when I came to the end of this galley-like thing, there was
mm-hmm.
a crystal lion there, and I picked it up and carried it off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was only weeks later that I met a man that was part of my life for 10 years.
Wow.
Deeply loved. Wonderful
mm-hmm.
companion. And he happened to be a Leo.
Say that last thing. He what?
He happened to be a Leo.
He happened to be a Leo. Okay. Uh-huh.
Crystal lion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think, again, it's really important for people to talk to themselves about their dream. You know, how did the dream make you feel?
Yeah.
What was the dream setting? Can you connect it to your life?
Mm-hmm.
Who were the people
mm-hmm.
in your dream? You know, all those things so that you know whether it was, a personal dream or whether you were living out some wonderful fantasy.
Yeah. Wow. We used to have a dream group years ago, and Julia was in the group. My brother was in it. I think my mom went, and I don't believe Joanne went, but I remember my mother going to the group. And we talked about the dreams amongst ourselves all week long, and then we go to the dream meeting, and then we talk about it again. And I just thought that was one of the most enlivening things I've ever done.
Oh,
because
I love
it,
that. I wish there was one around here. We should start one.
We have to start a dream group because that
yes.
helps you remember them.
Well,
and
yeah,
I,
the other thing
yeah.
is that Joanne had a dream group in Lancaster for years, too. And what they would do is they would get together and everybody would put their dream in, and then
mm-hmm.
each person would say what the dream meant to them.
Yes.
Now, see, your turkey dream, to me, if I had that dream,
yeah.
I would think of not only change, I would think of an enormous amount of abundance.
Yes, yes, yes.
Abundance, because, number one, you had a lot of turkeys. When do we celebrate turkeys? Unfortunately, other days,
yeah.
of course, but Thanksgiving, abundance.
So a real thankful. Abundance and thankfulness. Yeah.
Yeah. Gratitude.
Gratitude. Yeah.
And I mean, that's what the dream would mean to me.
Yeah. So it's tremendous.
And I think
gratitude.
The interesting thing is that if we talk to John or Jesse or Susan, the dream might mean something entirely different to them. And it would be another insight into a possible meaning for you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what's exciting to me about a dream group.
Yeah. Maybe Joanne was in this group.
She may have been.
But I should remember where she was. I just don't think she was. I think it was Julia, firstly.
Well, it could have been,
and
she could have taken it up later.
Yeah.
Or been part of one later.
And a gentleman by the name of Lou Goldfarb, who has since passed on. So we, to me, it almost reminded me of something that I took for granted. And looking back on it, I remember feeling very sad when it ended. So I think we should do that.
Yes,
dream
I think that's a great idea. We should do it.
I think we have to do it. It's just one of
those
things.
Besides, we have the internet now, and that makes it easy.
It does. We can talk about what dreams we may have had.
Exactly. And see what somebody else thinks.
That would
I like
good
it.
Idea to have, get a Facebook page, a dream interpretation, a dream group on Facebook. Page. And,
sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I finally did figure out years later what those three triplets were because I found out many years later that my life path number is a 3, 12, 4, 19, 40. And the threes have been significant all my life. So there I was at 6 or 7, somehow impressing that information on myself. Well, I certainly couldn't have known my life path was a 3 at 7.
Right.
But it, you know,
something.
It's
yeah,
very,
there's all these indications.
It's just curious. It's just curious. And I dream of my parents on a number of occasions, and it's not. I'm not dreaming of them. I'm dreaming of them in a very ordinary sense.
Yeah.
We're sitting down. They're watching television, we're talking, but it's never anything really pertinent or important or anything like that. And I wake up and I think, darn, they were right there, I could have said. But I didn't, because it was an ordinary dream.
Oh,
it's very,
so
it's very curious. Because, I mean, I had a good relationship with my mother. I had her the last 10 years of her life, and we had, she was a wonderful seamstress, and we made puppets and, you know, all kinds of things. The first puppet we made was a giant octopus, and that was in the living room. And it was for an SFF group, and the octopus had all these arms and couldn't do anything. So... It, you know, is a sort of a symbol of all the talents we have that meaning most of us, don't utilize all the talents we have, just some of them. It's an odd thing about talent. You think one thing is really primarily important and the other one isn't. And I think the reality is that they're all important.
Yeah.
It's like Jane Roberts talked about a living all of our lifetimes at the same time.
Yes.
And I was convinced in some lifetime I must play a musical instrument, and I decided this was in my 20s that it must be a guitar. Somehow I didn't connect with that self.
That is wonderful. I think a lot of people who play musical instruments dreamed about that, first of all.
You know, there are a lot of teachers who talk about manifesting things by believing and seeing it in your mind before you do it. And
mm-hmm.
some people
mm-hmm.
like Carolyn Mize, who talk about illness as being in your aura before it actually manifests physically. So I think there's examples of how our thinking is so indicative of what actually happens to us. And that's why I think that prayers are so important, because they realign that fuzzy thinking into a more grateful, open, caring sound.
Yes. It's so true. Well, all those, I think having a spiritual practice, a prayer practice, meditation practice, and all those spiritual practices puts you right into a dream state.
It does. It does. Because you can't, you literally can't, I can't be in a prayer state, in a meditation state, without going there. Because
mm-hmm.
you just, it isn't the everyday thing. And I think that's one of the reasons that animals respond to it so quickly.
Yeah.
Because out of our frenetic kind of activity and into that calm, which is where they are all the time.
Yes, that's right. So true. And when you're separate from people, and you know, or so-called separated from people who are still alive, I mean, there's a lot of communication that can take place that feels like a dream.
Yes.
When you are thinking about them suddenly, you know they're probably thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I think we communicate. If we could actually see it as a visual thing, I think it's like thousands of little spider webby pieces going out to everyone.
Yes.
And
yes, we're all connected, for sure.
We are. Oh, that hymn, "We Are One in the Spirit," has always been one of my favorites because of that. Because I think when we are when we are in spirit, I remember when we were working, at all of the Elizabethtown retreats for SFF in
mm-hmm.
that healing circle. And we would have a circle, the healers would go in a circle around the audience or the,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, the people that were there. And people would come up to they would just come up to whoever was there, and you would put your hands on them and do whatever it was you did. In my
mm-hmm.
case,
mm-hmm.
I felt as if I was just opening up inside so that energy could flow through me. It was a very powerful experience for everybody. We used to do it where we had the healers in a line in the back. And
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
Joanne had the idea to put them all in a circle to encircle the audience. And
that's
it was
better.
So much
yeah.
more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
so much more powerful. And it was a tremendous experience for a person working as a healer.
Yes. Because the circle is more of
mm-hmm.
a, you know, all inclusive, as you said, all the spider webs going out. The
mm-hmm.
spider web is a circle.
Yeah.
And that they're so beautiful.
Well, it gives you that, again, back to nature, that kind of that it's everywhere. It's just all encompassing. And that, when I think of that, it brings some sadness to me, because in our culture, we don't have a deep enough appreciation for the support, care, love, energy that nature gives us. on a daily basis.
Right.
And it's terrible that you have to think of saving the environment. I mean, that should be, you know, people shouldn't have to think about that.
No.
I mean, it should be sort of like an automatic thing.
That's right. Have you ever heard of the movie Thrive? Have we ever talked about that? The movie Thrive is now, well, it's free. You can watch it on your iPad now for free at, I don't know if it's www or not, but it is thrivemovement.com. And it is about saving the environment. And the whole movie is very dreamlike. And I bet it was conceived that way.
I bet it was.
I
haven't seen it, but I certainly will see it now.
Yes, and it's about creating energy from electromagnetic sources like the UFOs are able to give us free energy. But all along, there has been a lot of resistance to having free energy because they make whomever, the powers that be, make so much money off the oil and gas, and as a consequence of those energy sources, they are very polluting and they aren't really good for the earth.
Right. Well, I was watching a program last night and they were talking about China is now the largest energy uses the most amount of energy of any country in the world.
Maybe because they're the most highly populated, possibly? Or?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
one of the things that they are also one of the leaders in technologies like wind and they have, they're working on a coal plant now that they can capture the gas from the coal and reuse it for, I think it's soda.
Oh.
Different soft drinks or something. I don't know, that doesn't sound too good to me, but it was a way that they could make everything pay but not pollute. And the executive that was talking about it said is that at this point in time it's so expensive to do. But I think all of those technologies are going to become less expensive as more people become interested in wind technology and other forms of free energy.
Well, the thing is, now this Thrive movement has nothing to do with solar or wind. Interestingly enough, nothing. You have got to see it, and then we'll talk about it because it's.
Oh yes.
There are, and people are trying to are successfully trying able to get tap into this free energy, but it's hush hush because. The powers that be. It's like having a cure for cancer and having the FDA suppress it. Now, how silly is that? But, I mean, because of the good of the world, you would think everybody would just be so happy to have a cure for cancer. But the FDA has suppressed all of that. And they go in and they break down the scientific experiments of those who have a cancer cure. Well, the same is true of this free energy, the same kind of thing. So,
exactly.
But I do believe things are changing. And that, you know, it's just that what is good for the world will become the norm. I believe that.
I believe that.
We can dream it.
We can.
We can dream utopia. And actually, Thrive Movement is sort of utopian. But that is. Anything is possible.
Well, you know,
that is, yeah.
I can remember 20 years ago, wind and solar were, you know, hardly hardly, I mean, that was like the dream thing. And now they're talking geothermal and wind and solar. I mean, you know, once people really get it into their minds that they can do this,
mm-hmm.
then that'll change.
Mm-hmm.
It'll shift. And it'll shift all the way.
Absolutely. Well, I think that when it comes right down to it, things might seem fairly, you know, severe right now with the things that are going on with the energy crunch and with the fracking and with energy sources that aren't, like when the head scientist of NASA said that the XL pipeline was the end game for Earth. It
Good
seems
Lord.
To me, yeah, it seems to me that we should be listening to somebody like that.
Yeah.
But he was ignored.
Yeah.
And of course, our president has pretty much okayed the XL pipeline and is taking more steps to okay it.
Yeah. And you know, all the information on that pipeline, all the information on it is negative. If you look at that company in Canada, it's negative. They have made a mess up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
why would you believe that they wouldn't make a mess here?
Yeah, that's a little common sense, folks. You know, I think that drives me crazy. Is that that common sense is lost in so many corporate, the way the corporations run things. There's no common sense. And
well,
I find
you know,
that to be disturbing. Yeah.
Common sense is like dreaming.
Yeah.
And it's like creativity. And it's like anything that goes against the little box.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to say, oh, that's foolishness. And people believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
mm-hmm.
people who are creative or dreaming or who have common sense believe that. And that's even worse.
Yeah, it's interesting to think that common sense is like dreaming. I like that.
Well, it is
sure.
in a way, because it's so easy to say, it's so easy to go, oh, he just has common sense.
Right.
Well, yeah. But so many things that we do don't have common sense. The
right.
high fructose in the food, in the drinks, in the bread, for God's sake.
Yes.
Ketchup. Everywhere. That's not common sense. That's not common sense. That's money or
yeah.
common sense.
What would you like to call this Facebook dream group? We could just call it dream group.
Dream group.
This is fun.
I really do.
I just figured out how to do it.
I would be happy to throw in my 6-year-old dream.
Yeah, so I just posed a question in Facebook, how to create a group, because I couldn't figure it out. And somebody just told me how. Isn't that hysterical?
Oh, good.
Yes. So I'm going to invite you, because, and then you can make it open or closed. So, you know, let's make it a closed group.
Okay.
Because,
I don't know how
you know,
to make it open or closed.
Well, because there's a you have a choice. So
oh,
let's
okay.
make it closed. What I mean by closed is that we are the only ones that sometimes dreams can be pretty personal. So if we have an open group, then everybody that is in my friends.
Thing, oh, I oh yes,
see
yes.
It. And I might get in trouble by talking about my dreams. It might be things that have to do with breaking free of restraining the restraint of the, you know, whatever.
Right. Right. I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, my gosh. I actually was sharing in a group that I thought was closed, and I thought I could have lost my job.
Sticky.
So, it was a nursing group, and I thought it was a closed group, and it wasn't. So right now it's going to be you and me. And
how do we tell if it's a closed group?
Well, because this is closed. This is a closed group. See, they give you, as you're setting up the group, it gives you privacy.
Okay.
It gives you
setting
privacy choices. Yeah, I'm setting it up, and it says it can be open, closed, or secret. And I don't think we have to be secret. So only the members can see the post, but if it's secret, only members see the group who's in it and what members post. So, I mean, secret sounds like it's closed. It sounds like it's about the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of it because I really was very sorry that I couldn't go to Joanne's group.
Yeah.
And I occasionally get a dream that I would really appreciate some feedback on.
Mm-hmm.
And I always
mm-hmm.
called her.
Yes.
And she said, well, if it was my dream, this
uh-huh.
is what I would.
Well, this is very odd. Very strange. It says, who else would you like in this group? And the first person is Joanne R. Glass. I find that to be very, very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, she would be in the group.
I think she might be.
Isn't that interesting? Oh, I love that. Well, she's still on my Facebook page as one of my friends.
Right.
Because yeah,
right.
she is.
Nobody took her out. I am going to invite my brother. He would be a wonderful asset to the group.
Yes, that would be good.
And I just have to tell him before he wonders what the heck that's all about.
Yeah, well, it's always good to give people a heads up.
Yes.
So sometimes that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. So I think it's really exciting. So because we can share our dreams together, we will probably be more motivated to remember them.
Exactly. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is fun.
Oh, I like it.
I'm
going
to add Julia to the group.
Julia.
Yes, because she was there, right there.
Julia.
That would be fun. Julia Glass.
Oh, Julia Glass?
Yes, she's there, so I thought I would add her.
Oh, good. Julia would be a good one.
Yes.
She's a Taurus.
She certainly
Deep
is.
Deep thinker.
Very,
very
deep. So it's interesting to think about ways to, you know, remember your dreams. And now your dreams are special because they're waking dreams and they have to do with healing. But to bring in the sleeping dreams with the waking dreams really kind of closes the circle, as we were talking about.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I hadn't thought of that.
Because really, you really can't separate your waking and your dreaming life.
No.
You can't separate that out.
No. You know, I've often told myself at night that I needed to wake up at like 3 o'clock
mm-hmm.
if
mm-hmm.
I was working on somebody with absentee healing.
Yes.
Because it was my understanding, God knows where I got the information, but I believe that it's better when you're doing absentee healing on someone to work on them when they're completely relaxed, and that's when they're sleeping. Now, this, of course, is not, you know, you're not going in working on someone unrequested. I mean, this is
mm-hmm.
if you have a request for healing and you're working on them and you say, well, the time I have available will be when you're asleep.
Yeah.
You're okay. But I've often
exactly.
found that that was much more effective than during the day when they were more, their bodies were more distracted.
Yes, when we do absentee healing, it reminds me of a dream. It really reminds me of a dream because, well, we tell them that we're doing it, they request it, and
mm-hmm.
we all relax together, and there is such a beautiful relaxing. And I guess that additionally, you, the person, and come up with images that
mm-hmm.
have to do with their healing. And Gandalf is your companion.
Right. But you probably come up with images too, Kate.
Yes.
When you think about it, because yours are probably verbal images
uh-huh.
or minor pictures.
That's right. There's different ways of coming up with the whole healing thing. Everybody heals in different ways. Healing has a multidimensional quality to it.
Does. It's just like learning. You know, some of us learn by hearing it, some by seeing it, some by writing it, and it's
mm-hmm.
the same way with healing.
Right.
I think everybody is a healer.
I do, too.
They just don't all either acknowledge it or are aware of it. But, you know, every time you see a mother kiss a baby that's got a cut, it's
mm-hmm.
a healing. That
oh, yeah. When a mother kisses her child's cut, that is
exactly.
so healing. Yeah.
And, you know, just the simple touch of a person who's in distress. And
mm-hmm.
you don't even
mm-hmm.
need words. Just the touch
yes.
is enough to know that it's healing. And see it on their face. You know, you can feel that energy pass from one to the other. And I think the more people pray, the more people meditate, they get into that space of listening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Listening when there's distress. The only time I pray without somebody asking me is if I pass an accident.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing to do.
You know, or something where there's some kind of terrible conflict going on, then I do
mm-hmm.
it automatically.
Mm-hmm. Automatically, and yeah.
Just because and when I know somebody is going to go in for surgery, I pray beforehand. Because
mm-hmm.
I think sending them healing energy before they go for surgery is a good thing.
It is. It is.
But, you know, it just fills them up before they get opened up.
Yeah, I think nurses are greatly negate their own healing powers.
I agree. But they have such a tough road, Kate, because they're so. You know, my mother was a nurse, and she was a wonderful nurse. And
she was what?
She was a nurse, and she was a wonderful nurse. But
uh-huh.
she. You know, she talked often about the lack of support that she and other nurses got from doctors, that there was so little support from them. There was so little acknowledgement of the power and the knowledge that the nurse herself had. You know,
mm-hmm.
we bow to the god of the doctor.
I hope that's changing. I hope that it is. There certainly are. I've seen some wonderful doctors, but once again, their hands are tied.
Well, it's very tough. It's very tough.
It's the corporate takeover. The corporate takeover of medicine has tied everybody's hands.
Yeah.
So if everybody claimed their own healing, their own ability to heal, I think it would break free. Medicine. I think medicine would break free. And Pearl agrees. Pearl agrees.
She heard the sound in your voice. The
yes.
The change.
So anyway, we are, at the end of the hour, and it's been a wonderful hour indeed. And
it
you
has,
get to
I
your,
can hardly believe it. It is.
I know. And when you get to your Facebook page, you'll see that there's a dream group on there. So, yeah.
I'm going to
exciting?
I'm going to sit down and put down my dream of six, my six-year-old dream.
Good. I want to read that.
Okay.
So I'm going to be playing music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen. And I love you, Samantha, and we'll see you on the other side. Love you.
Okay, Kate. I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.